Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
And we're starting a new series on today, entitled Defensive Coordinator. You know, and to the avid football enthusiasts, they would know a little bit about what it is to be a defensive coordinator. Now, a defensive coordinator is nothing more than an assistant coach on a football team. And this coach's responsibility is to oversee the defense. And of course, they have different assistants underneath them that actually tend to the different positions per se. For example, you have a defensive line. There is a coach that tends to them. You have linebackers. There is an assistant that tends to them. You have your cornerbacks and your safeties. There are assistants that tend to them. And all of these assistants are then overseen by the defensive coordinator, who's responsible for the entire defense. And so what the defensive coordinator makes sure is that everybody's in their positions, and the defensive coordinator typically calls the defensive plays for the actual defense. Amen. And so as we're looking, the title is called Defensive Coordinator, right? And what we're trying to do is we're trying to introduce God as a defense to his people. You know, so we would embrace God as a defense. And one of the words that defense is defined as in the Hebrew definitely is talking about shield or buckler. You know, and so a shield is used as a defensive means in combat, as a defensive means to block off stuff. Right. So we want you to understand that God is your defense. We want you to see him, begin to see him as your defense, right? And so the aim is we're trying to get those people who are fighting God's battle, because there are some of us who fight God's battle, where God does not need your help fighting the battle, right? And there are times where you may not necessarily be fighting the battle. You're fighting many battles that you need God to actually intervene on your behalf in certain battles, right? So we're trying to get you to stop fighting God's battles and allow God to be who he's supposed to be and just simply trust God, right? So we're encouraging you to trust God, see God, know God, believe God to be your defense, amen? So as we deal with this particular series, we're talking about him being a defensive coordinator, right? And so today's sermon is going to be entitled Fill in the Gaps, or Fill the Gaps per se, right? Again, this is a football terminology from the defensive side of the ball. What you would have is, say for example, if I had three people right here, right? And there's a gap on the side of this middle person. There was a gap here and there was a gap here, right? And defensively, what we're trying to do is we're trying to stop the running back from being able to slip through. The running back is the person that the quarterback. Now, the quarterback is the person who drops back and throws the ball. Everybody may not know football terminology, right? You understand? The quarterback is the one who drops back. He's the one responsible for throwing the ball. He's the one responsible for handing the ball off to the running back. The running back or the tailback is the one that stands behind the quarterback like this. You know, there was a fullback sometimes, depending on the play that's called. There was a fullback back there as well. Sometimes the quarterback would hand the ball off to the fullback. Typically, the fullback's responsibility is to be the lead blocker for the running back. When I say blocker, he's going, whatever man is coming for from the defensive position, he's going to go and block that person. So it'll give the running back an opportunity to slip around or slip through these gaps. So the running back or the tailback, aside from the fullback, is the person behind the quarterback, right? So when we come up to fill these gaps on a defensive position, we are trying to stop the running back from slipping through these gaps, right? Or if they should do a play called a sweep, meaning the running back is handed the ball and he's trying to get to the outside around defense, we're trying to get up and come meet him before he gets out in the open. Right? So we're trying to fill these gaps, right? We're trying to fill these gaps and not let the running back get what he's supposed to do. Now, that's football terminology. As it pertains to us, when it comes to filling these gaps, you can see all the scriptures we dealt with had intercession. Intercession, simply put, at its core. And this is the definition for intercession right here, right? Well, I scratched it out, but I put it down here. I see it now. Intercession is intervening on behalf of someone, right? Or simply praying on behalf of another person. So typically when you hear us talk about intercession, we are talking about intercessors, right? Intercession is in the Bible. They're not necessarily intercessors, but this is where we take the term intercessors from the word intercession. Intercessors are the ones who are interceding, intervening, or praying on behalf of other people, right? And so typically what we're saying is when you're interceding that you're standing in the gaps. You're filling the space. And so when we talk about fill the gaps, the word fill is defined as, okay, filling in this particular space with either something or someone. We're filling in this empty space. Hence the gaps. We're filling in these spaces, right? And then when you talk about gaps, we understand gaps is nothing more than whether you talk about something like a wall or a unit, whatever the case may be, there is a breach or there is an opening. So we're trying to fill this breach or these openings, hence the gaps. No, understand, as an intercessor, you're standing in the gap. You now take on this empty space, or you now occupy this hole or this breach, right? So this is my little foundational work that I'm trying to lay to make sure y'all understand what it means to fill in the gaps from a football terminology, but then as we move into a spiritual system, make sure you understand what it is to fill in the gaps. Right? So we find ourselves here in the book of Romans, a very familiar passage of scripture, you know, because we love to go to Romans chapter 8, right? In particular, verse number 28, when all hell is breaking loose in our life and we try to tell ourselves, and we know all things are working together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And we told you before, even looking at this particular scripture, it's you only have a purpose because your purpose is God's purpose. So in reality, God is the only one who has a purpose. Because we've been all have been called according to his purpose. Now, this is how I like to burst people's bubble, because a lot of people, they so like to quote that scripture when they feel like they're live. You know what? And all things work together for the good. Well, if you study and read the scripture, it said it worked together for the good of them that love him. You understand? Love is by means. God measures your love according to your obedience. Right? He measures your love according to your obedience. So understand, if you're not obeying, it is proof that you don't really love God like that. So all things are not about to work together for your good. Because it only works together for the good of them that love him. All right. See, this way, see, folk, we find out that folk have a lot of lips. Oh, I love God. And then they try to sing Erica's song. I love God. You don't love God. What's wrong? No, there's something wrong with everybody that does not obey him. That you don't love him. Right? That's the reality. And so some of us, we deceive ourselves, which is the worst deception. Self-deception is the worst deception. Thinking all things are going to work together for us because we love God. When all actuality, some of us don't love God. We just talk a real good game. Your obedience is the proof how much you love God. Some of us, we don't obey in everything. Well, we obey him in most things. Well, then it's probably safe to say most things are probably going to work together for your good. Then. Most things. Most things. Now, that's just, I'm just saying that to make y'all feel good. But if I know God, he just be like, okay, half a truth, that's a whole lie. Half obedience is full rebellion. I'm just saying. Some of y'all want to feel good, so there's your feel good piece. But the truth of the matter is, he wants your full obedience. Come on, if we could have somebody come and testify, we would call King Saul. Come here, King Saul. He told you to kill everything. Kill all the Amalekites. Don't you bring back no animal. But you decided to bring back the king, Amalek, and you decided to bring back the choice animals. And you got the nerve to talk about you obey God? Well, because you did not obey God, for that, the kingdom is going to be snatched out of your hand, and I already raised up your replacement. So God was not surprised about his half obedience. God already knew what he was going to do. So in response, consequently, here is David. I already got your replacement because I already knew what you was going to do. So your replacement is already on the scene. You understand? So now, as we get back into filling of the gaps, in Romans chapter number 8, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So it says, likewise, it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. And see, right there, some of us, you ought to say, thank you for your help, the help of the Holy Spirit, right? Because understand, it is the Holy Spirit that's helping you with your infirmities. Infirmities in the Greek is talking about he's helping you with the feebleness of your health as it pertains to your physical body, right? Because a lot of us, when we hear the spirit of infirmity, we automatically link it to sickness, something dealing with our health. That is part of what it means. So the Holy Spirit is helping you with the feebleness. When you weaken your physical body, he's helping you, right? Or with sickness. But on the flip side, when you talk about the infirmity of your soul, because see, most folk don't understand, there is infirmity that takes place in your soul, not just in your physical body. Oh yeah, come on, let's talk to me, right? When the infirmity is taking place in your body, in the Greek, it's talking about what? It's talking about the Holy Spirit is helping me to restrain from corrupt desires. Oh yeah, because understand, desire is a part of your soul, right? We understand that it's talking about your passion and it's talking about your desire. But understand, some of us, you have not yielded to the corrupt or wicked desire because it was only because of the help of the Holy Ghost. You didn't have no healthy no in your soul. You didn't have a healthy yes in your soul. Because if you would have had your way, you would have said yes to what you should have said no to. And see, we all want to talk about Paul. Well, I understand, Paul, what I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. I want somebody to rise up what I shouldn't do. Guess what? I didn't do it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost helped me. There is something called the Holy Ghost that will strengthen me when I'm weak. There is something called the Holy Ghost when I feel like I don't have control that will give me something. Control that will give me self-discipline. It will lead me when I don't know which way to go. It will direct me. Oh, the Holy Ghost will help you if you want to be helped. But the reality, most of us don't want to be helped. We too prideful, we too arrogant to ask for help. So guess what? If you ain't asking for help on this level, I know you really ain't asking for help on this level right here. Because guess what? The fact that we have to ask for help, it makes us feel like we're unintelligent. And we're so wrapped up with the opinion of man or the opinion of people, we don't want to ask nobody for help, knowing good well you need help. Oh, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's helping with our infirmities. You're okay, you well past your adolescent years and you still had to deal with disappointment. Matter of fact, it's because of disappointment. Some of us feel like we are so suspicious as we are when it comes to having healthy relationships with people. I don't want to be disappointed like that. I don't want to be rejected like that. I'm afraid they're going to reject me how he rejected me. I'm afraid they're going to reject me how she rejected me. So I'm suspicious of letting anybody get close to me. The reality, talk about your disappointment. You just hurt. Let's talk about your hurt. We're not making light of your situation. Hear what I say. We're not making light of your situation, but you have got to come on and be healed. There is help for you. If you want help, there is help for you to be healed. The Holy Spirit will help you get over your trial. The Holy Spirit will help you through the troubles of your heart. That heartbreak, he can help you. See, what I found out, there is no pain like the pain from the opposite sex. There is no pain like the pain that you receive from your parent that neglects you or rejects you. It's indescribable. But guess what? There is help even for that. Some of us, we're at a place where It's not commonplace for us to ask the Lord for help. Because let's be real, there are times you have asked God for help and it doesn't seem like God has helped you. And I know you're not going to talk about it. See, most of us, you are dealing with disappointment in relation to God. Because you know you prayed and you asked God to do a certain thing and that certain thing has not been done. You're not going to talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it. And the reality, you are a little suspicious even when it comes to God. And that's why we are hesitant for asking God for help again. You figure, well, no, God, I got it. I'm going to be in control. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do what needs to be done. Oh, but there is help if you let the Spirit help you. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we are. The Spirit of God is helping you in relation to your infirmities, both physically and soulishly, right? And it says, why? For we know not. Know in the Greek is saying, we don't see what we should be praying for. You with your 20/20 vision. Oh, yeah, you with your whatever other kind of vision. I don't know. I got 20/20. I don't know what other kind of vision you can have. 15, 20, 10, 20. I don't know. I don't know what that other stuff is. I ain't trying to have. Lord, please keep me like Moses. Don't let my eyes wax dim. Now, I ain't hating on some of y'all. If you need help, thank God. That's He helping you in relation to your physical body. Right? The eyeglasses is God helping you. He's helping you. Don't you be ashamed. You better take that help and use it. But you don't always see what you should be praying for. You don't always perceive what it is you should pray for. You don't always know. You have a clue. You can give suggestions. You think you know what you should be praying for. The proof is the things that you pray for. What you're praying for, you believe this is what I should be praying for. But in the book of Jude, it talks about praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. In other words, being led by the Spirit, what I'm supposed to pray for, who I'm supposed to pray for. You understand? You can start off praying and you get in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will shift your prayer because that's not what you're supposed to be praying. You don't even know what you're supposed to be praying for. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. This word ought in the Greek is talking about what is necessary. I don't even know. I don't see. I don't perceive what I should be praying for that is necessary. According to the Spirit. Because this is a Father, in the name of Jesus, God. God, I need you to bless me right now, God. Let me get a promotion on my job, God, because I need a little bit more money, God. If you give me a little bit more money, God, I promise, God, I'll give you time, God. I'll bless you real good. Is that the necessary thing the Spirit wants you to pray for? You think it's necessary because you figure you're struggling paying your rent. Or paying your light bill. And for most of y'all, paying your phone bill, because you'll pay your phone bill before you pay your rent or your mortgage. And that's crazy. That's the mindset of some of us. You figure you can't live without your phone. I'm paying my phone bill before I pay anything. And maybe that's why some of y'all are struggling in your finances, because you pay your phone bill, you pay AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, whoever you pay, Comcast, whoever else, Walmart, them. I don't know all the brands. I know AT&T because AT&T is getting on my last nerve. I'm going to have to pray for AT&T trying to buy up everything too. Trying to monopolize stuff. I better pray against AT&T. No, I'm serious. AT&T has bought DirecTV. AT&T has recently purchased Spectrum. Right? But the government has said, no, we're not going to let that go through. Because now you're taking advantage of the consumers. Because if they have all of those entities, they can charge you whatever they want to charge you. Or AT&T is trying to monopolize. Monopoly at its finest. I said, I got to get from underneath this. I said, AT&T, woo, Jesus, right? But no, some of us, we do that. Your phone is more important. You're more sensitive to your phone than you are to God. So you're willing to pay your phone bill before you give God what you owe God, or even give an offering to show how you feel about God. Right? He said, we know now what we should pray for as we are. We don't even know what's necessary for what we should be praying for. You can't see what's necessary. You can't perceive what is necessary unless you get in the spirit. Oh, we out here now. Let's put in some work. We out here right now. You don't know what you should be praying for. You can't see it. You don't know it. You can't perceive it unless you get in the spirit. He tells you, walk in the spirit so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Now, we see Enoch walk with God to a point that he didn't even exist anymore, at least in this physical realm. And if we interpret the scriptures a certain way, we believe that this is what Adam did on a daily basis, that he walked with God at a certain time throughout the day. You understand what I'm saying? And understand, when God breathed his breath, which we know to be his spirit, right? Y'all better come on and help me. You better come on and help me. Man became a living soul because of the breath of the spirit of God. You understand what I'm saying? Now he's walking. He don't even know what it is to understand what the flesh is, because all he know is spirit. So what am I really saying to you? According to Adam and according to Enoch, walking in the spirit should be as easy as you breathing. Oh yeah, and you gotta understand, you're not waking up telling yourself, your lungs, okay, take a breath, lungs, inhale, lungs, exhale, lungs. God has created and designed your body to the point that your lungs know exactly when to breathe, how much air to take in, and when to let the air out. Oh yeah, so walking in the spirit should be as easy as you breathe. Breath denotes spirit of God. And see, if we can get you in the spirit, then you will know, you will see what's necessary to pray for. Who is necessary to pray for? We did an illustration, an example with the ministers on Friday night, right? This is what I told the minister. I said, you know what? I'm going to use myself as an example. I walked up to him and did like this. I said, I'm going to open my spirit up to you. Now pick up the burden on me. Now, see, mind you, they hearing the word burden, they've already interpreted. They're praying from their mind, or they're praying from their emotions. They think that I'm saying, pick up something on me that has me emotional. Nothing had me emotional, right? But when I say burden, in the sense of burden, I'm saying pick up this heavy thing that God has laid on me to press in and pray about. You understand? I said, now, you already have the advantage. Because I am opening my spirit up to you. I'm going to look you dead in your eyes, because they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. So I'm giving you the advantage. I'm making it that easy for you. Pick up this burden. Do you understand? Different one was praying. Because like they say, they're praying from their mind and they're praying from their emotions, interpreting the word burden to be something that has me emotional. So different ones are praying about. I pray about his family. I pray about his father. I say, go sit down. That's not it. Because when you get in the spirit, I'm not moved by what's happening in my family. See, there's a place in prayer you can get that you can get in the spirit, but you're not even moved. No, God got that. Now, had I did this before celebration or last Wednesday, that probably would have been something you would have picked up on me. You understand what I'm saying? But because I've been in such a place of prayer, because I've been in such a place where I'm seeking God, because the burden that I was talking about was to prophesy, how God want me to prophesy. The burden that I'm talking about is have a passion and a desire to seek God, to really get back in such a place of prayer that I'm moving, that I'm operating and moving and speaking according to what the Spirit says. I'm minding on this flesh. It's on the things of the spirit. He'll tell you. If you get in the spirit, you'll know, you'll see, you'll perceive what is necessary to be praying. I ain't even praying about my daddy. I'm not even praying about my family. I just know God has that. My prayer has been, God, for where you're taking us, God, we have to be ready, God. Get us ready, God. Let us have a desire for you, God. Let passion arise in us, God. Awaken a passion on the inside of us, God. Let the fire of God burn on the inside of us, God. That when the people encounter us, God, they will encounter you. Oh, can I help y'all real good? Understand, Paul is talking about, well, you understand, we're supposed to be a witness. We have, the church of God has interpreted being a witness, going to hand out tracts. Are you going to make it to heaven or hell? These people reading these, they ain't got nothing to do with it. If we really be real, you giving them a cheap thrill of what this gospel, this delicate, this sensitive, this glorious gospel is about. It is about our Savior who died on the cross but resurrected to save and deliver you from sin. And you put in this little cheap thrill. No, to be a witness is according to your lifestyle. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help right there. There is such a way that you should live before people. I ain't got to hand you no track. You understand? My life is going to bring conviction to you. By the way that I live, the truth that I bring myself under, it will bring such a conviction to you. Oh, yeah. The level of obedience and the standard that I hold myself to, it will bring such a conviction. This is the witness that he's talking about. So we understand why we're unsuccessful. Because you think handing the track out, handing the fly out is the key. You are the key.
Come on now.
That's just information in your hand. You're the key. You are the witness. How did you live before you went to go talk to people? You know, my wife, they've been having their family reunion this weekend. That's part of my family now. Some days I didn't know whether to laugh, run. I never seen so many older women who were chasing me. Who you, baby? I am not exaggerating. Voice was that deep. Who are you, baby? What's your name? I had all the shirts, you know, the family shirts. They would cover my little name tag. Well, baby, you're supposed to have your name. It's under my shirt. But my name is Lincoln. You got it. Oh no, she got that red Solo cup in her hand, baby. And they got me and my wife separated. Cause the other one, baby, what's your name? My name is Risha. Baby, go get such and such some food. They got us separated, right? They over here trying to holler at me and got her serving, right? After she get this lady some food. Baby, go get this some older man. Go get him something to eat. Go get him something to drink. He got a headache. So then, her wife was looking like, then they asked the other, you know what? No, he needs something strong. Go. He needs some Absolute. My wife was like, oh, I know I can't do that. Because they had to go to the store to get it. So I didn't know whether to laugh. I didn't know whether to run. Because you're trying to be polite. I don't know him. I'm trying to be polite. Hey, how are you? Trying to be respectful. And I said, God, I don't know what to do in here. Because between them trying to hit on me and all this stuff, they got me sitting here watching Aretha Franklin. I've been watching Aretha cat dog. I said, God. I said, I am watching Aretha Franklin. I've been watching Aretha Franklin funeral for... I'm like, I feel like I'm about to lose my mind in here. Like, the point I'm making, there's a certain conviction that you live under that will challenge other people. This one particular lady who ended up being the photographer for the whole thing just kept talking to me. First, she'll slip a little cussing word in there. Because your speech is going to reveal who you are. Everybody, tell me, before she sat next to me and started dealing with me, everybody would say, she was the main one getting up. I'm talking about in the house while the funeral going. The Baptist clap just, hey, thank you, Jesus, amen. Yeah, just going in, right? So I'm just looking. I don't say nothing, because you know me, I just look. I'm just observing who I'm around, what's taking place. So she sits next to me, and she started talking. She's like, what's your name? Who you part? I said, I'm part of the family because my wife, you know, my wife, this is on her dad's side and all these different things. And she's like, oh, okay. So she starts talking to me. So because of my convictions, it started bringing out her true nature. So then she just started letting them all go. She got so comfortable with me. She was like, let me tell you something. Because she's just taking pictures, natural pictures. She said, let me tell you something. She got in my ear. She said, let me tell you something. You may not ever say them not yours. She talking about my children. She say, ain't no way you can deny none of them. Especially that little one. That little one is your twin, right? This is how she talking to me, right? She say, let me tell you something. That's your ASS right there. That's your ASS right there. Right? So then I think she finished. She walk away, right? She go snap a picture. She come back. She say, let me tell you something. I know your ASS been over there. Talking about my wife. I know you been in there. Cause your ASS, she said, cause your ASS, you can't deny none of this. You can't deny none of this. So she walks away and go, chewing the gum, she take it. Y'all get close for me, baby. Take the picture, right? She come back. She leaned, she said, all right. She called me the N-word. It's so crazy, she said. She called me the N-word. She said, N, I'll kill your ASS myself if you try to deny one of them. She ain't mean no harm. She's just telling me the truth. See, my conviction of the truth brought about. It's going to reveal who you really are. You talking about you say, but now all these different words slipping out your mouth. Right? You say, I'll kill your ASS if you try to deny one of them. And she wasn't drunk. I said, all right. I just bust out laughing. I was like, oh, my God. What I appreciated about her, she was real. Even though she said she was saved, because I understand there were some people, their definition or their interpretation of saved, to them, cussing is okay. To them, drinking is okay. To them, smoking is okay. To them, fornicating is okay. Everybody does not live according to the scripture, how we teach it and try to live. So I wasn't offended by her definition of saved. But God will let you know, see, there is more to this. That's why you ought to thank God for the relationship you have with God. You know you have a better understanding of who God is and what God requires. And see, like we talked about even on last Sunday, worship should be, it's the central theme of the Bible, right? And by it being the central theme of the Bible, we talk about obedience is the highest form of worship. The Bible tells us who we are supposed to worship, but in like manner, it tells us how we are supposed to worship God. Oh, yeah. He's very detailed and specific on how we're supposed to worship. He said, the hour cometh. Well, the Father was seeking such that they will worship him. And if you're going to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's very detailed on how we're supposed to worship. Everybody that considers themselves a believer, a saint, a Christian, they don't interpret the Bible like that. To her, she's saved. She has relationship with God and all that. And if you ask her, she going to heaven, she going to I guarantee she's going to say yes. But we know you're lying. According to the word, when I put you up next to the word makes you a liar. That's not me judging. That is when I put you next to the word, according to what the word says about your so-called relationship with God, the word is going to reveal you as a liar. The Bible speaks about being converted. That's talking about change. The way you used to live, you don't live anymore. So in other words, old habits, things that were simple, nature or sinful behavior, you should put that down. He says, so you don't know what's necessary to pray for unless you get in the spirit. The spirit will reveal it, right? He said, but the spirit itself maketh intercession. The spirit itself is filling the gap. for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, when you understand this, talking about cannot be uttered, it's inaudible. It's not able to be heard by your physical ear. But if you were to get in the realm of the spirit, you can hear what you cannot hear in the natural. Oh, I'm talking good right there. If you get in the spirit, you can hear what your natural ears cannot hear. Because understand, because it's inaudible to the human ear does not mean an animal cannot hear what your human ear cannot hear. You understand? But if you get in the realm of the spirit, what you could not hear with your human ear, you can hear in the realm of the spirit. Why? Because he's filling the gap. He's making intercession. He's intervening for you. He's praying for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. They cannot be heard by the human ears. But if you want to know what the Holy Spirit deems necessary to pray, get in the spirit. Right? Go to 27. He says what? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the spirit. He, Christ, who searches the heart, knoweth what is the mind of the spirit. What is the spirit thinking? What has the spirit purposed? Because in relation to thought, it's also talking about purposes. What has the spirit purpose for you today? What has the spirit purpose for your life today? What has the spirit purpose for you in this service today? What is the purpose? What is the spirit thinking in relation to you? Because again, it says what? He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He that searches the heart, Jesus that searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the spirit. Because the first 26 has told us that the Spirit of God, and see, this is how many people have been misinterpreted. They think Jesus, not right here, this is the Holy Spirit making intercession. I'm going to tell you, one of the scriptures we read showed you Jesus is making intercession, but this right here is talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus have came up to fill the gaps. Right? I thought y'all had that thing going on where somebody give a praise, the rest of y'all was going to give praise. Right? I thought y'all had that thing going on where somebody give praise, the rest of y'all was just going to join in and help them bless his name. See, we talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit filling the gaps for you. They are praying what they know is necessary according to the will of God. Yeah, some things we praying don't have nothing to do with the will of God. But thank God the Holy Spirit is praying. And Christ understands the mind of the Spirit that they can come in agreement and pray that the will of God, intercede for the will of God concerning your life. Yeah, they're praying about certain relationships. No, block that one. Uproot that soul tie. Cut that one off, God. Don't let it even get started yet, God. Block him. Block her. They don't need this job right here. Keep that crazy perverted uncle away from them right there. Oh, but they need to be in the presence of this man of God. They need to be in the presence of this woman of God. Send them over here, God. Let them move right here. Let them get this job. Let their children go to this school. Oh, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit are filling the gaps, making intercession, because they understand what the will of the Father is concerning your life. He's making intercession for the saints. For the saints. The saints interpreted in the Greek, for the believers, those that are convicted by the truth of God, those that are bringing themselves under the auspices of God's word, he's making intercession for the saints. We're not just talking about, I love God. No, you have yielded and submitted yourself to the word of God, to the will of God. He is making intercession for you. Oh, see, that's good for me. That was a weak praise. I thought when somebody praised, I was giving praise. That was a weak one right there. They gave praise on the front row. Y'all, praise was weak. You don't always know what to pray for. Many days you pray what you feel like God wants you to pray for. Or many days you're praying what you feel you should be praying for. Or many days you're praying what you think you should be praying for. Oh, but how many days have you asked and asked amiss? Come on, help us, James. How many days have you prayed and then you praying? You prayed and asked amiss. But tell somebody, I won't ever miss if I get in the spirit
and tap into what Jesus and the Holy Spirit are. Because they know, they see, they perceive, they know what is necessary to be praying for. Matter of fact, while you praying about a house and a bigger apartment, see, Jesus said, listen, foxes have holes and birds have nests. Out of all the prayer that he prayed, he ain't pray, Father, give me an immaculate mansion. He ain't pray none of that. The Bible tells us he going to go build a mansion for you. He said he had one for himself. You know, you concerned about that. But he let you know, out of all the praying he did, not one time that he prayed, God, give me a roof over my head. Because your will is not concerned with where I lay my head. To be Christian is to be Christ-like. I heard one of the people that I respect, gospel preachers, begin to talk about, it's almost an offense to call yourself a Christian. Why? Because to call yourself a Christian is to say you're Christ-like. That's why when you go in the Bible, the word Christians won't even use it until I think we got to Antioch and all these different things right here, right? So they would refer to, they would say, I am in the way. Because to say I'm a Christian is to say I'm Christ-like. I am nowhere near to being Christ-like. It's what Paul was letting you understand. He said, I am in the way. I'm on the journey to becoming Christ-like. That's why Paul can say, you know what, there were some days I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I find myself doing what I know I shouldn't be doing. But I ain't no Christian, I'm just in the way. Oh, but then there came a point where he could say, I'm a Christian. Because there was such a discipline that he brought to his life. Mind you, I'm talking about he was so disciplined to a place that he was locked up and he was concerned about writing his pages to get the word of God out to the people. He didn't pray, ask God, release me from these shackles. He didn't say, God, open these prison doors, God. But I got to write this gospel, God, so that the people would know the testimony of the Lord. See, that lets you know the level of discipline he began to develop in his life where he could consider himself a Christian. But before he considered himself a Christian, he just said, I'm in the way. So he said, I'm making intercession for the saints, those that believe, those that trust, those that are yielded, those that are obeying. I'm making intercession for them. Because he understands, you know what? I got to come fill these gaps because guess what? The enemy has tried to attack you with infirmities in your physical body. Or the enemy has tried to attack you with infirmities by way of your soulish realm. And guess what? He has beat you to the point where he's beat holes in your soul. And he's beat holes in your mind and beat holes in your hearts and beat holes in your will. But guess what? I want you to know I'm coming to fill the gaps. When stuff just kept leaking out of your heart, I'm about to fill the gap. Where stuff was just leaking out of your mind, I'm about to fill the gap. Where stuff was leaking out of your physical body, I'm about to come and fill the gap. Yeah. Okay, when you didn't know what to pray, I'm about to fill the gap and pray what you didn't know to pray, what you didn't have to even the words to express to pray. I am about to come and fill the gap. Why? Because you are a saint and I'm interceding for you. What? For God's will. Where your heart struggled with obeying God, I'm about to fill that gap. I'm gonna feel it to it. You're gonna be waking up saying, I'm gonna obey God. Ready to obey God. God, what you want me to do today? You're gonna begin to ask God, God, what you want me to do today, God? God, what you got planned for me today, God? God, what do you have purpose for me today, God? He's gonna fill the gaps of your heart. He's gonna fill the gaps of your understanding. Yeah, what was difficult for you to perceive, know, and understand about the will of God, he about to fill that, God, that you're gonna be saying, God, it ain't got to make sense. But if it means I'm gonna obey you and bring you glory, God, just say the word. The Spirit and Jesus are making intercession for the saints. Lord. See, it's time out for theatrics and games that folk playing in the churches. Where it ought to be change. Sinners ought to become convicted when they hear the gospel of Jesus and say, what must I do to be saved? I'm not talking about they should walk out of here saying that was a good, the devil is a lie. They should not walk out of our presence saying that was a good message, but never yielded their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is a liar.
If we could get in the spirit, fill the gaps with Jesus and fill the gaps with the Holy Spirit.
So because there are openings, because there are breaches where the enemy has came in, it allows for people to fall out of the church. He said in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away. They can only fall out of the breaches or the holes, the gaps of the spaces. If you get in the spirit, and fill in the gaps with the Holy Ghost and with Jesus. Stop folk from leaving the church. The folk leave for all kind of crazy reasons. I ain't like how they talk to me. I didn't have no close parking space. I ain't like we had to sit in the black chairs. Why the chairs didn't have no cushion? Well, help us get over there to the land so we can build that building for God. And we can get some cushion chairs. Understand, you know it because you've thought about leaving it. I know I thought about different times leaving for crazy reasons. And when I think about all these thoughts influenced by the devil, he had a way in because there was a breach in my mind. There was a hole in my mind. He can attack me in my mind. Or there was a hole in my heart. He can play with my emotions and manipulate stuff to make me see things and perceive things to be this way. He can twist words. They didn't say that and make it sound like they said this. And play with my emotions. And now I'm all jacked up and want to leave because I felt they said this. I thought they said this. What it felt you said. I know you said what it felt like this. Close the breaches. Oh, come on, I hear the Lord say, repair us of the breach. Right there, you ought to bless him right there. He's calling us to be repairers of the breach. Close the gaps. Fill in the spaces. Close the hole. Patch it up. Oh, it ought to be some patchwork taking place in the body of Christ. Notice, when there was a hole in sheetrock, they used something called spackle to patch up the hole. Your spackle has got to be the word. Your spackle has got to be love. You understand? Your spackle has got to come from Jesus and come from the Spirit. But we got to patch the hole. Fill in these holes. Fill in these breaches. Fill in these spaces and gaps. Give me 34. I got to roll. Give me 34. I got to roll. He says what? Who is he that condemneth? All right? And see, there is a spirit of condemnation that the enemy has tried to seep in through these gaps in the church. Because the world has got people on this, only God can judge me, only God can judge me, why you judge me, all these different things. And when you understand what condemnation really is, it's just speaking words in a manner that people believe that you're judging them. Right? And this is how the enemy holds people down, by the means of condemnation. They feel so beat up by your so-called, what they perceive to be judgment, that it becomes too easy to quit Jesus. It becomes too easy to leave church. All behind a misunderstanding. All behind we fail to get clarity. If we are tight like we say we are, if you know me like you say you know me, how could you possibly think I meant that? I get it. Even if you thought I meant that, even if you thought I meant that, I thought we were close enough that you would come and get clarity. So we can bring understanding. No. Some people have been struggling leaving the church anyhow. You just needed an excuse. And all you did was just use me as an excuse to do what you didn't have the fear to do. So now you want to feel like you got an issue with me because of what I said, which makes it easy for you to walk out. No, you wanted to walk out the church from the giddy up. Just go ahead and walk. Don't use me as a scapegoat. Don't use us as a scapegoat. If you want to quit Jesus, quit Jesus. Don't let me be the reason why you quit, Jesus, because the truth be told, your issue really not with me. You have an issue with God about what God has demanded of you, about what God is calling you to do. You feel you cannot own up to it, or you feel you are inadequate to do what God is calling you to do. So rather than take your issue up with God, you take the easy way out and have an issue with me or have an issue with us. Has nothing to do with us. Who is he that condemneth? Condemnation comes from the enemy. As he tells us, Paul tells us, now therefore there is no more. Now, you need to understand that now. When did Paul write this? Back in the day. But he made sure by the Holy Spirit giving him the expressions of the mind of God, right, that it'll pertain to everyone. Now. Now, therefore, there is no more condemnation. There is no more condemnation because he stretched out his arms. Oh yeah, he let them push a crown of thorns in his head for you. He let them bang nails in his hands and in his feet. He allowed them to pierce him in his side. He allowed them to beat him 39 times on his back. Why? That's why there is no more condemnation. And he reminds us, it is Christ that died. Yeah. But he said, you know what? As awesome as his dying was, I don't want you to stop right there. He said, but yea, rather... Y'all don't even understand. When he died, he took all your sin with him in the grave. But he said, yeah, rather that he is risen again. Oh, but he got up. Come on. I thought y'all said when somebody prays, you were going to help them pray. Oh, we know that he died, but the Bible declares that he got up. He didn't just get up, but he got up with all power, all authority in his hand. Oh, and he's declaring the righteousness and the glory of the Father. He got up. Where is he at? The Bible says, who is even at the right hand of God. He has taken his position at the right hand of the Father. And what is his function now? That I make intercession. See, some preachers had you believing that Jesus' work was finished when he died and got up again, but the work has not stopped. He said, I'm still working. Oh, I'm standing in the gap. I'm still working. God, that's a crazy mindset. Block it. God, they being double-minded. Block it. God, that's perversion. Uprooted. God, that's rebellion. Rebounded and cast it out. He's still working. Making intercession. Saying, Father, it does get a little tricky with them some days. They're not even trying to run from that. It get a little tricky with them some days, God. They'll be honest and say, God, it get a little tricky with me some days. Most of us, most days. But Jesus reminded him. He's on his right hand. Mind you, this is God seated on his throne. And this is where Christ is, on his right hand. Father. Oh, Lincoln. Oh, see, this is how I see it. He tapping it. Father. Yes, he did with a whole lot of anger. Woo. Oh, God, but he loves you. Yes, God, he deals with lust of the eyes some days. But he's trying to fix his eyes on you, God. Oh, God, I'm working in here, God. I'm praying for Lincoln. I'm praying for Ivan. I'm praying for Natara. I'm praying for Risha. I'm praying for the saints, God. He's working even though he's standing at the right hand of the Father, making it, he's filling in the gap. I don't think y'all really understand that thing. There are times in your life when certain things come, you don't even know what's attacking you. You saying, God, what is this? Why are you trying to figure out what's attacking you? He already saying, Jesus. This is Jesus already saying, problem. God, That's that spirit of indifference, God. See, before you knew it was indifference, Jesus was already praying, God. That's that spirit of indifference, God. Trying to make them feel like they don't care. Trying to make them feel like nothing is important. Trying to make them think and believe and feel that nothing is worthy. That all of this is for naught. All of this is for nothing. But I'm here to tell you, it is not for nothing. Oh, your family shall be saved. Your family has got to be delivered. Change has got to come to this nation. Because God is raising up a remnant. Oh, that's going to yield and submit to the gospel. That's going to yield and submit to the voice and the spirit of God. Why? He's making intercession for us. Before you figure it out, he already praying, Father, bind this up. He's still working. Some might even call Jesus a workaholic. He's still working. He has a right to take a break. His father rested. He has the right to take a break. I got to keep working. We don't know. Maybe God trying to persuade. Just take a break. You going to work. You got to go back. You going to work. I don't know what God is talking to him. All I know is he's still working. Oh, there's a hole right there. Oh. He's stretching himself out in that space. I got it. He's holding together what you thought was going to fall apart. Oh, yeah. I'm standing right in there holding it together. Oh, yeah. I got them things called ends. I'm going to make them come together. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What you didn't understand, I'm right here. I'm standing in the middle. It has not fell apart because I have stood in the space. I have stood in the gap. I'm holding it together. Give me my last verse so I can get out of here. He says, wherefore he is able also. Oh, come on. I hear Darwin Hobbs saying, he's able. He's able. Come on, pick me up in the realm of the spirit. I hear Darwin Hobbs say, he's able. Pick me up in the realm. I hear Darwin Hobbs saying, he's able. Wherefore he is able also to save them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, y'all should be, y'all come on. Wherefore he is able also to save them. See, what I found out, God is not in the business of just trying to save you from your sins. God is also trying to save you to himself. Did you hear what I say? He's not in the business of just trying to save you from him, your sin. He's also trying to save you to himself. Let me preserve you for me.
He's able.
He said, wherefore is he able also to save them to the uttermost. Uttermost in the Greek is, he's saying, I am able also to save you completely. I am able to save you perfectly. See, I just got stuck on the word completely. Because see, some of us, all it was is he saved your body. Because you stopped fornicating. You stopped masturbating. You stopped whoring around. But he never saved your mind because you never yielded your mind. Oh, but he's saying to the uttermost, he's able. I can save your physical body. I can save all of your mind. And if you would allow me, I can save all of your heart. I can save you down in your soul, down to your spirit. I can save the complete you if you would allow me. 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 If you would allow me, I am able to save you.
Oh, he's able.
He's able. I don't care what it is, he's able. Yes, I can save your mind. Yes, I can save your heart from confusion. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can save you. I can save you completely. I can save you from all of that fear. I can save you from all of that doubt. Yes, I can. The fear of your mind, the doubt of your mind, I can save you completely. Yes, I can. I'm a God that is able. Come on. To the uttermost. It says that come unto God by him. Come on. We ought to come to him. Come to him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. See, they used to sing a song in my old church. Come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Yeah. He can save you. Come to Jesus because he loves you. Come to Jesus. He can heal you. Come to Jesus. He can deliver you. Come to Jesus. He can rescue you. Come to Jesus. He can redeem you. Why? Because he is able. He said, I live. I'm living just to make intercession. So he said, just how easy. I want you to walk in the spirit. It should be like breathing for you. He said, guess what? My praying is just like walking. It comes that natural. It comes that easy. It's that easy to pray for you. You may be difficult, but guess what? I live to pray for you. You may be stubborn, but I live to pray for you. You may be hard-headed, but I live to pray for you. You may be struggling with lust, but I live to pray for you. You may be struggling with perversion, but I live to pray for you. Struggling with doubt, struggling with fear, but Jesus lives to pray for you.
He's able.
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 To restore.
He's able.
He's able.
Come on.
He's able.
He's able.
Sing it. Sing it with some conviction. Sing it with some passion. Sing it that you believe that he's able.
Oh, 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 he's able.
Yes, he is.
Oh, oh, oh,
I don't care. Family that has been torn apart, he's able to mend it. He's able to bring it back together. That family member that's lying on their bed of affliction, he's able to raise them up. Yes, he is. That wayward son, that wayward daughter, that wayward husband, that wayward wife, that wayward father, that wayward mother. Oh, he's able to bring her back into the flock. Yes, he is. He's able to restore your broken heart. Come on, sing it like you believe it.
He's able.
What you know?
He's able.
I tried.
Tell us what you know.
He's able.
All my burdens.
He's able.
Yeah.
He's able.
He's able.
This is where we gotta go old school and say, yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know he's able.
Yeah.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
I tried.
He's able.
Come on, you know you tried him. And because he's able, you can't find no fault in him. You tried him. You wanted to be able to say he let you down. You wanted to say God failed you. But you can't find no fault in him. Why? Because he is able.
He's
able.
He is. From the rising of the sun, he's able. To the going down of the same, he's able. In the midnight hour, he is able. In the darkness, he's able. When you can't see your way, God is still able. When you don't know how you're going to make it, he's still able.
He is
able.
Don't have enough money in the bank account, he's able. Struggling in school, but he's able. Struggling on the job, but he's able. Trying to believe God for the vision. Trying to believe God for the vision. He's able. He's able. Even when the vision don't look like it's lining up, he's able. Why? Because you tried him for the smaller things. He's the same God that moved for the smaller things, that can do it for the larger, the bigger things. This is the same God. This is the same God. This is the same God. He's a God that changes not. 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 I don't care, you may change, but God would never change. God would never change. He's a God that changes not. You may change, but God never, ever changes. If people's able then, he's still able. He's always able. He was able. He is able. And he will always be able. We're talking about the King of Glory. Oh, the King of Glory. The King of Glory. The King, the King, the King, the King. See, the song says, yeah, the song says, don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on God. Yeah, he done brought you too far. Brought you through too many things. Don't you give up on God. There ain't nothing too hard for God. Don't you give up on God. It ain't for you to understand it. It ain't for you to see it. Only thing is for you to trust him. Don't you give up on God. Because he ain't gave up on you. Yes, you messed it up. Yes, you messed it up. But he has not given up.
Don't give up on God.
No, you're not perfect. You haven't always did it right. But don't you give up on God.
Don't give up on God.
Yes.
Because he won't give up on you.
Come on, he's not giving up on us, y'all.
Don't
he's not giving up on us, y'all.
Because he won't give up on you.
Woo!
Don't give up on God.
Come on, sing that right there with some conviction. Sing it. Don't you give up on God. I know you're trying to make sense of your life. I know you're trying to figure out where the money is going to come from. I know you're trying to figure out if you matter to anybody. But don't you give up on God. COP, we're not going to give up on God. The promise, what God said. The vision, what God said. The people that God said. Oh, we will not give up on the land. We will not give up. We will be. We will do. We won't give up on you, God.
Because he won't give up on you.
Win the loss at any cost. We won't give up on him.
Because he won't give up on you.
Come on, minister. Minister, come on.
He won't give up on you. Don't give up on God. He won't. No, he won't give up on you.
Sometimes where word couldn't go, song and music can go. Where word couldn't go, song and music can go. Come on. Prophesy on the instruments. Prophesy through the music.
It's a cry of victory. Yeah. Don't give up on God.
Come on, somebody's at their breaking point. You don't know. They got a smile on their face, but on the inside, they're breaking. On the inside, they're struggling with whether or not they should give up. And they've learned how to smile through it every day. They learn how to just keep pressing through.
Don't give up on God.
But somebody is weary. But you're not going to be weary in well doing. You're not going to be weary in well doing. No, you're going to trust God. You are not going to give up on God because God has not given up on you.
No matter what you do,
come on, somebody's just fed up with life. Fed up with life, tired of life, the life that they're living. Want to change but don't know how to change? Don't you give up on God.
He is able.
Why? Because He is able. He can change your very life.
He is able. He is able. He is able.
Oh.
He is able.
Jesus, the yoke destroyer.
He is able. He is able.
Jesus, the burden bearer. Jesus, the mind regulator. Jesus, the heart fixer.
He is able. He is able.
He is able.
He is able. He is able. He is able.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Life. He is able to give you peace to your confused mind, your racing mind, your terrified mind, your tormented mind. Oh, He is the Prince of Peace. He is able.
He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. He will do it. He will do it.
He's able to understand everything about you, everything that you're going through. And God is concerned about you. Somebody just need to know that God is concerned about you. Somebody just need to know that God is mindful of you. Oh, open the book of Psalms, chapter number 17. It talks about you are the apple of God's eye. Every time He blinks His eye, He sees you. No matter what direction He chooses to look in, He sees you.
He will move it. He will move it. He is able. He is able. He will move it.
What you thought could never change. What you thought has been happening for so long, this has become my norm. He can change it. Just like that, He can change it. He can break it. He can destroy it. Just like that. In an instant. Immediately.
He will change it. He will break it.
Come on, God want to speak to the heavy hearts.
He will break it.
To the heavy hearts.
He will break it.
To the heavy hearts, come on. Father, we pray for the hearts that are heavy, God. Heavy, God, heavy, heavy. The emotional heavy hearts, God. Heavy from the struggle, God. Heavy from the issues, heavy from the troubles, heavy from the trials of life, God. We pray for the heavy hearts, God. And Father, we ask right now, God, that you can do what only you can do, God. Go in, because you said in your word, God, that you by your spirit search the hearts, God. Jesus, we're asking, search out the heart, God. That thing that's weighing on the heart, causing the heart to become heavy, God. That's making it difficult, God, to trust you, God. That's making it difficult, God, to see any hope, God. We bind hopelessness and despair, God. We bind the spirit of depression, God. We bind the spirit of heaviness, God. You told us for the spirit of heaviness, you've given us a garment of praise. We lose praise into their life, God. That they can praise when it doesn't make sense. They can praise when it's challenging, God. They can praise when it's uncomfortable, God. They can praise when they don't completely, fully understand, God. They can praise when they don't like it. They can praise when they don't agree with it, God. But let a praise come forth from the fruit of their lips, God. We thank you right now, God. Some hearts are heavy, God, because they don't feel that they can live up to your standard, God. He's not asking you to be perfect. He is the perfect one. He's already accomplished what you could not accomplish. All he's asking for is your yes, your surrender is your yes. All he's asking for is your yes. Come on. It's that important. Your yes is that important. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your yes is that important. Your life is dependent yes, upon your yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, yes, your life is dependent upon your yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Sometimes the enemy has designed life to make you say no, but your yes,
yes, Lord,
is what's going to keep you alive.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come on.
Yes, Lord.
To your will and to your way.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, I will obey.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, I won't change in my life. Yes, I'm tired of living a defeated life. Yes, I'm tired of living a lie. Yes, I'm tired of not living up to your standard. Yes, I'm tired of not obeying. Yes, I'm tired of falling short, God. Yes, I want your glory to be seen and be revealed in my life. Yes, I embrace the call, God. Yes to your anointing, God.
Yes, to your
yes.
Will and to
you are my desire. Yes,
I'll
God, you are who I choose.
Yes.
You are what I choose, God. Yes.
Yes,
yes.
I will trust you and obey.
Yes,
I'll say yes, Lord. Yes.
When I want
to
say no, I'll still say yes. God, put a yes in our soul, God. Put a yes in our heart, God. Put a yes in our mind, God. Put a yes in this physical body, God. Put a yes down in our spirit. Put a yes in our mouths, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Passionately, fervently, we say, yes, Lord. Intentionally, we say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Gratefully, we say, yes. In awe, in amazement, we say, yes. Father, we ask
yes,
right now, God.
Lord,
fill the gaps, God. Fill the spaces, God. Fill the holes. God, fill every breach, God. Those that we know about, even those that we are unaware of, Father. We're asking right now, God, by way of your Spirit and by way of your Son, Jesus, as they make intercession for us, God. Fill every gap, fill every space, fill every hole, fill every breach, God, in every area of our life, God. Because you said in your word, God, it's to the utmost that you save. Save us completely. There were some of us, God, we just feel like you saved our body. Father, save us completely. The tripartite being, God, save our physical body. Save our soul, God. Save our spirit, man, God. Save the total being, God. Don't just save us from our sins. Don't just save us from ourselves, but save us to you, God. Preserve us for you, God. We thank you right now, God, for every gap, every breach, every hole, God. Every space being filled right now, God. Fill it with love. Fill it with love. Fill it with love, God. Those of us who have holes in our heart because of rejection, God, fill it with love. Fill it with acceptance, God, because we understand it's by the spirit of adoption that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Fill our hearts with love. Fill it with acceptance, God. Where there's fear and doubt and lack of trust, fill it, God, with courage, God. Fill it with hope, God. Fill it with faith, God. Use the core of hope, faith, and love. Fill us completely, God, with that threefold core that will forever be changed and never the same, God. Only beautifully broken in your presence. Only gracefully broken in your presence. That we can see the beauty in our brokenness, God. Things that were burnt up, God. You've given us beauty for ashes. Things that were lost. We'll see the beauty in what we feel was lost. Because God, we couldn't understand why some things we had to lose and some people we had to lose. But God, let us perceive it in the correct manner, God, that we can see the beauty in what we lost. That we can, it brought us closer to you, God. It caused us to trust you greater, God. It caused us to lean on you even more, God. The holes that have come from the hurt and pain and disappointment. The holes and the gaps that have come because of bitterness and resentment, God. Fill it with love and forgiveness. Fill it with kindness, God. Because in like manner, you said your loving kindness has drawn us, God. And if we can act as you act, God, we can draw other people to us, towards us with love and with kindness, God. Fill the breaches, God. That will never be the same, God. We believe it to be so, God. You're filling our heart. You're filling those spaces with healing, God. Restoration, redemption, conviction and truth. Let us desire not your will, God, but let us desire you. Father, I pray you will be our desire. You will be who we seek after, chase after. What we chase after, seek after, God. I pray that we will fix our eyes on you, fix our heart on you, God. Put a yearn down in us, put a longing for you inside of us, God. A thirst and a hunger, put it on the inside of us, God. You become the object of our affections, God. This we pray in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. This we believe in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. This we hope for in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. And we seal it with our praise and our agreement by saying amen. God. Now, come on. Now you come in prophetically. Come on. Just prophesy over the music, through the music.
Lord, I love you more than
anything. Ooh, that's my heart's cry, God. Come on, somebody, come on, come behind the veil, come behind the veil, come into the secret place, come into the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on and get into His presence. Come on. Come on, whisper up to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much he means to you. Tell him who he is. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him. And when you don't have the words to express, let him interpret your moans and let him interpret your groans and every ooh and every ah and every oh. Let him interpret it. Because I love you, because I love you, because I love you, 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 I love you. You're the one that I adore, you're the one that I admire, God. You're the one that I'm thinking about, God. You're the one that's on my mind, God. You're the one that's in my heart, God. It's all about you. More than anything, more than anything, God, more than anyone, I love you. See, somebody trying to arrive here, somebody trying to get there where they love God more than they love that thing, where they love God more than they love that person, where they love God more. Come on, you know it's been a minute since you worship anyhow. You might have praised, but it's been a while since you really worship. Some of y'all ain't worshiped since celebrations. Come on. Some of y'all ain't told him who he is since celebration. Come on, Nate. Take us there. Take us there. I love you, Jesus. Come on. Somebody get the bucket ready. Somebody get the bucket ready. So when we get up, we'll be ready. We need a sheet up here. Your first lady's on the floor. Come on, son. Tell him, I love you. 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 Yes, come on.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Come on, right there, let it purge you. 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 Every concern, every worry, every concern, every worry, every concern, every worry of your mind, everything that's heavy on your heart. Come on, let him purge you right there. Let him purge you right there. Let him pull you to another level. Let him pull your faith to another level. Let him pull your trust to another level. Let him pull your passion. Let him pull your desire to another level. Let him bring your prayer life to another level. Let him bring your praise to another level. Your worship to another level. Your provision to another level. Your providing to another level. Your touch to another level. Your caring to another level. Your love to another level. Your giving to another level.
More than anything.
Another level of submission. Another level of submission. Another level of yielding. Another level of yielding. A hunger, a thirst, a desire, and a fire from the Most High God. Come on, don't stop, because I'm going. Come on, tell him I love you, Jesus. Those of you that are in the audience, if you got your envelope, come on, stand up.
Anything, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you.
Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Follow the leading of the ushers. Come on. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more. Come on, if you desire to take communion, we ask that you take it and hold it so we can partake of it all at once. Come on, you're special to God, special to God, special to God, special to God, special to God.
I thought y'all said when somebody praised, y'all was gonna give God praise. I know we trying to get communion and all that, but you using your hands. That ain't got nothing to do with your mouth. She's saying, God, you're so worthy. Of he's worthy, just because he's worthy. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. So I live.
I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Go ahead. While they still prophesying over the music, while different ones are still crying out to God, you take an opportunity to talk to God. God, tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you desire him. Tell him how much you want him. Tell him how much you need him. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how awesome he is. Tell him how amazing he is. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him that I can't live without you, God. Tell him that you're nothing without him. Tell him how much you need him. Tell him you can't make it without him. Tell him that he's holy. Tell him that he's righteous. Tell him that he's gracious. Tell him that he's merciful. Tell him that he's forgiving. Tell him that he's kind. Tell him that he is. Tell him. Tell him how you want him to come fill your spaces, your gaps, your holes, and your breaches. Come on. He died. He stretched out his arms. He allowed them to whip him, beat him across his back 39 times. He allowed them to push a crown of thorns in his head. He allowed them to spit on him, to beat him, to slap him, to punch him. He allowed them to nail his hands and his feet to the cross. Why? He said, I will allow my body to be broken to remove all of your brokenness. I did this so you don't have to live a broken life. This is my body. Come and eat. He allowed his blood to just bleed, to just drain from his body. At any given time, he could have stopped it. But because I love you, I allowed my blood to just flow. I let it flow so it can wash over you, so that it can cleanse you from the inside out. I let it flow. I let it flow. I let it flow. I let it flow so that my blood can save you, so that my blood, it can heal you, so that my blood can rescue you, so that my blood can redeem you. I let it flow so that my blood can save you. He said, this is my blood. Come on, drink. Come on, somebody give God praise for the redemptive work of the cross. Somebody give God praise. Because as often as we do this in remembrance of him. He's the savior of the whole universe. He's the savior of the world. He's the savior of your soul. He's the lover of your soul. He's the redeemer of your physical body. Oh, he is the God that saveth all of humanity. And for that, we praise you. For that, we worship you. We've come to the conclusion of our 11 o'clock service. Huh? I'm going to pray over. We're coming to the conclusion of our 11 o'clock service. For those of you who are still laid out on the floor, if you haven't had an opportunity to give, if the bucket is gone, you know you can always give via text message 84321. And we just ask that you please fill out the proper little envelope so we can keep proper documentation in Jesus' name. You don't have to have a bucket to be able to give in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in case we are packed up and gone, if you still desire to give, you can always give online. Amen. Father, we thank you right now, God, for every dollar, God, every coin, every tithe, every offering that was given on behalf of the kingdom, God. As we have come cheerful, Father God, as cheerful givers, giving for this cause, for the sake of the gospel to be declared, Father God, for the sake of the kingdom to be advanced, for the sake of souls to come into the knowledge of who your son Jesus is, God. Father, we ask that you will breathe on these offerings, God. Breathe on these tithes, oh God. that there will be meat in your storehouse, that you will open up the windows of heaven, God. We stand symbolically as the windows of heaven, God, that you will use us to be a blessing to other people, God, by the means of our giving, God, through the advancement and the uplifting of the kingdom, God. Breathe on it, God. Cause it to multiply, God. Where there's a shortage or where there's a lack, God, by your grace and by your favor, God. Fill in the gap, God. Fill in the hole, God. Fill in the breach. Fill in the space, God, of the finances, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God. But you know what these monies are dedicated and allocated for, God. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, God. You are the God of provision, God. You will cause provision to be seen and cause provision to be met, God. Not just in the sanctuary, not just in the house of God, but in the houses and in the lives of your people, God. We thank you that there is no lack, God. So, Father, we honor you, we bless you, and we call it blessed in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, y'all know we are a church founded on the Word of God. Well, the demonstration of the power and the love of God is at its best. And we decree that we are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. I feel like I missed something. Oh, no, I didn't. We are more than conquerors. See, the devil is a liar. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And we are more than conquerors. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And we decree the Aaronic blessing over the lives of the people, over the church, God. The Lord bless thee, Church of Philadelphia, body of Christ, and keep thee, Church of Philadelphia, and body of Christ. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, Church of Philadelphia, and body of Christ, and be gracious unto thee, Church of Philadelphia, and body of Christ. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, Church of Philadelphia, and body of Christ, and give thee, Church of Philadelphia, and body of Christ, peace. And they, Church of Philadelphia, individually, body of Christ, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them, Church of Philadelphia, and body of Christ. Put his name in your life. Put his name in your life. Put his name in your situation. Put his name in your bank account. Put his name in your relationships. And he will bless you. We call you a blessed people. Come on, give somebody some love and let them know you're glad to see him, and we release you in the presence of the living God. Hug about one person to your near vicinity. And quickly put your hands on something in Jesus' name. We need all the help we can get. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We know y'all worshiping. Y'all can't stay down there that long. And we need help. In Jesus' name.